Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may please be seated. Praise the name of Jesus. Pay attention. My assignment this morning is somewhat apostolic. And this is what I mean. This maybe will be the first time I will say something like this in the open. But when you're called to an apostolic ministry, like Celebration Church is, you are in the business of regulation. What did I say? And by that, this is what I mean. Apart from your personal ministry to your local church, there will be times where you will have to speak up either to or for the body of Christ. That's what regulation is. You regulate the parameters of the interpretation of biblical doctrine. You see, there are some things that are true but are taken to the extreme. The apostle makes it his business to say, these are the parameters. This is what the word of God teaches. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes the body of Christ is taking a hit, and then you have to speak up either to the body or for the body. Hallelujah. So sometimes, and the reason why you need to know this as members of this church is so that when you see that ministry at work through your pastor, you will not be surprised. Can I tell you something? I've taught you this before. When God wanted to make David king, he didn't take David to the palace. I've said that before, haven't I? He did not take David to the palace. You know what he did? He sent a prophet to anoint David. The prophet anointed David and went home. So what that anointing did was to put in David a passion for the nation that will make sure he cannot turn away from the threats of Goliath. So the anointing produced in him a passion that took him to the palace. The anointing didn't take his hand straight to the palace to say, Saul, stand up. David, sit down. Do you understand? So you have to understand, many times the call of God will regulate your passion. Regulate your passion. There were many other Israelites in the time of Nehemiah. But Nehemiah heard about what was happening in Jerusalem. He fell to the ground and wept. That's the call of God at work. I was still a new believer, still learning biblical doctrine. When I hear some teachings, I will fall to the ground in my room and cry. I had no audience. And I said, God, this has to change. The people have to know the truth. And that's how the apostolic ministry works. So when maybe something happens in the body of Christ and your pastor sees the need to talk out. There was a time one particular fellow, you know, kept saying a lot of things, maybe about the body of Christ, and I went out to do a YouTube video. And a lot of people, you know, don't understand. A lot of people, they have a reflex for staying away from controversy. And I don't like controversy too. But the call demands it. There are some issues that we can't keep silent about. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not youthful exuberance. It's the call. And today's message is a similar type of message. But this one, it is to the body. And I don't know how God is going to do this, but I want this sermon to go far. To go far. It's a sermon for the body of Christ. Let me tell you this. In case you don't already know, there is a worldwide attack against the church. I mean, it has become obvious. You don't need discernment to know. There is a what? Worldwide. Even, I mean, you're watching movies, sci-fi, you know, things that have nothing to do with religion, but there must be a shade against God, or just they must put something. It is strategic, it's intentional. Don't think it's just happening. It is not. It's organized. And my message is not even to them. My message is to you. Praise the Lord. Because not only is there heightened attack against the body has not been trained to handle attacks. Church people, in fact, controversy, they don't like controversy. Their promise in Christ is peace. So the moment there is any trouble in the water, they are off. And they will rather ask God why, you know, than stand. They don't see what's happening. The devil is a master of disguise. The devil is a master. You see, even when demons possess people, except when it gets really out of hand, it's not obvious. It takes discernment to know. Isn't that true? It takes discernment to know. Their strength is in secrecy. In fact, the Bible says he projects himself as an angel of light, as if he's on your side. Eve, did God say you should not? Really? Praise the Lord. And so the Bible gives us a warning. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. I'm going to touch on this verse again, but I just want to read it now. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Are you there? If you're there, say, Some of you are coughing. All right, read 2 Corinthians 2:11 together, loud as you can. 1, 2, go. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. This word advantage is a war term. The element of surprise. They are already there and you are not prepared. He says, for we are not ignorant. Ignorance gives the devil an advantage. When he's the one at work and you don't see it. Can I tell you, this strategy has broken many homes. You are arguing about the point. Both of you want to be right. You think it's about the point. You don't see the devil at work. For we are not ignorant. Listen, if you are ignorant of his devices, of his schemes, his stratagems, he has an advantage. Are you with me today? The only way the devil has no advantage is by discernment. You have to be able to spot, this is Satan. This is Satan. The church is low on discernment. So low. So low. So now, the theme for today's service is bounce back. The ecclesia advantage in a time of crisis. How God's strategy for recovering the body or an individual is the family of God. You have to have that family mindset. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you something? When in your company, someone steals, there is an approach. Oh, you stole? What does the law say? What are the provisions in the Constitution? You're sacked immediately, stripped of all your privileges, and maybe the police will take it up. But if you hear that your son stole, whatever noble thing you choose to do, tell the authorities or whatever, I bet if you are normal, you will seek his recovery. Yes or yes? You will at least try to, you will say, what happened to you? Why did you do this? The family mentality will preserve the body in a time of crisis. Praise the Lord. The family mentality. You know, I said on Facebook weeks ago, I said, check very well. The people who shout about the government don't have friends in government. Check well. Yes or yes? We like to pretend as if we don't have a bias. We all do. I'm not saying it's right. But by the time the local government chairman becomes your friend, and he belongs to that party that you don't like, you will pipe down a little. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that's what I would do. But at least, let's talk. But at least, if you must talk, you will know how to present it. Praise the Lord. So many times, even if something happens afar, if it's the body of Christ, still have that family mentality. Come on, if you've been to this church long enough, you know our stand, you know what I believe, you know, do you understand? But I'm telling you, we need to be ready because there is more to come. There is more to come. You know, I have a reputation for being a teacher, but those close to me know I function in the prophetic almost as well, especially when it comes to the body of Christ. So I'm telling you, there is what? Hallelujah. So let me show you what the Bible says in Luke chapter 22. The sermon is about to start now. All right, Luke 22. Focus now. You want it? Yeah, nah. Luke 22, verse 31. Are you in Luke 22, 31? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold. I like the word behold, like, because this is a word of expose. Satan likes to hide. So he says, behold, meaning see, what's going on. Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. Listen, when I gave my heart to Christ, I'm talking about consecration now, and I began to do things for God, I found one or two older Christians look at me and say, oh, you remind me of my university days. You remind me of those days. I was on fire for the Lord. Have you heard older people talk like that? And you're wondering, well, what happened? Why does it have to be, oh, good old days? Why does it have to be that way? Good old days. Ah, that time I used to do all these things you are doing. In fact, some will warn you to calm down. All these things you are doing, we've done it. Calm down. Do you know what has happened to them? Oh, you think life happened? It's an attack! The devil stages, don't think for a moment that the devil is going to fold his arm and watch you blossom in the Lord. He's going to try. He's going to try all that he can. And many times it works. He says, behold, Simon, wake up. The devil seeks to have you, that he might sift you. Sift you. Sift you. You know, so all your big convictions are trapped all up here. And then what is left down here is fine, presentable, but can be blown away by the wind. He's trying to sift you. He's seeking to sift you. So first of all, some people is so simple. You just blow. You just make money and you're uninterested. And you think it's a money problem. But you also discover that the people who don't have money have the same problem also. Their lack makes them uninterested. Oh, this God thing, are you sure? I'm not even sure. I don't know what's going on. How can someone be trusting? How can you have a father in heaven and you even to find food to eat is so difficult? You know what's happening? Are you following? For some of you, oh, there is glory, mighty working power at work in me in the Holy Ghost. Your uncle is sick. You pray for him. Nothing happens. He dies. So your conviction becomes, because your parents who believe that God heals but no longer pray for the sick, they were once like you before this began to happen. Are you following me here? Now you have questions. You never talk about it with anybody. You never bring it up with your pastor. But in your mind, why? Why did uncle die? Why did my brother die? Why didn't it happen when I prayed? You even went so fast to say, does this thing really work? Maybe sometimes, is there really a God? Hallelujah. Oh, you believe in miracles. You've seen many miracles. Many men of God perform miracles, then you discover that many of them are actually staging the thing. Sifting. Sifting. It's all a scam. This church thing. Salvation is personal. I always knew it. You know, your convictions are changing. Are you with me this morning? You joined the church. You were growing spiritually. You got so involved. Became a worker. Became so involved. Got close to the pastor. Then the pastor tried to date you. He's sifting. Sifting. It's all his calm. They're all the same. How can he? Do you know what it means? You know, someone that you trust, spiritual father, you know, he did that to you. You entered into his office for counseling. He's trying to touch you. You know, sifting. The devil seeks to have you. I mean, you still show up in church. Don't get me wrong. But now, you have made up your mind not to be radical. You just say, you know, all these things. Been there, done that. Let me just be where I am and take my time and do it gently. You know why? Because I don't want my fingers burnt anymore. So now, you are a church boy, but of no use to the kingdom. You are right where he wants you to be. That's the attack I'm talking about. Hallelujah. You end up with convictions like there are many ways to God. You know, now, you are just trying to find the common... You don't want to put your head anywhere anymore. Are you aware this is what has happened to many people? Have you seen people who were vibrant in school and you saw them much later and they were a shadow of themselves? I saw one of them on IG. I had to clean my eye. I had to go to the profile, check the name properly. Oh, wow. This young man in club, and he's not hiding it. He posted it now. The devil seeks to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. And if you're not careful, you will think it was normal pressure. So now, Peter was told ahead of time, the devil is coming. But if you did not read this, and you read what happened to Peter, you would just think it was normal pressure. Oh, they arrested Jesus. Normal thing now. If I don't deny, they will arrest me too. It was just pressure. That's why I denied. But it was an attack. Are you with me? It was not the spur of the moment. It was an attack. Oh, now Jesus is arrested. What do I do now? I'll return back to fishing. It was an attack. Not just pressure, not just the... Now, someone will say life happened. That's part of the strategy of the enemy. To hide his activity until you are finished. Praise the Lord. So you must learn to separate issues. Yes, things are happening in the body of Christ. But how is the devil taking advantage of these occurrences to attack my faith? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You will be wise and mature when you can think like this. That's what we're here to talk about. You have to be smart. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace. The Lord shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. What's the next line? If it's angels, they slap you in ocean, they collect your phone. Are you getting me now? Are we discussing real issues or not? For we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. When you become aware, the things that were meant to make you weaker will make you stronger. Hallelujah. You should have taken it as an opportunity to grow. Someone else's conclusion would mean, I have more to learn. Your own was, it's not working. And while you're saying it's not working, some people are working it by the power of God. But your offense has blinded you. Offense. Simon! Satan had desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. And you know what's more dangerous? The church has zero recovery program. Zero. It's a paradox. The church doesn't forgive. The paradox. You know, we don't even realize it. You know, there was someone, a musician, who had a scandal years ago. I think it even broke his home. He moved on. His wife moved on and everything. So I was in a place and someone was talking about this beautiful song that the guy had written. And someone said, this is not that guy that had a scandal. Do you know, even his wife has forgiven him. But now, this lady will not listen to his song because of something that happened years ago. Is that not what we do? I'm talking to you now. But think about it. After all that Peter had done, Jesus shows up on the scene after his resurrection. Simon, do you love me? Peter says, yes, I do. He didn't say, shut up! You are still lying. After denying me thrice, you are still lying. I was just testing you. That's not what he said. Think about it. Before Peter's temptation, Jesus had already said, upon this rock, you are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. After the temptation, his plan did not change. He still said, feed my sheep. What if some people who had a genuine call fell, but God's hand had not lifted from their life? What if they still had an assignment? Does the church have space for such people? We're talking about bounce back. I'm not just talking about pastors, I'm talking about choristers, I'm talking about members. You're messed up, we all know. Do we have the nerve to put this gospel to test? He said he has blotted all our sins. That's what you teach. Act like it. The guy is remorseful. I'm not talking about someone who is in open rebellion consistently. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the guy has acknowledged his fault. He needs recovery. That's the time he needs you the most. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the time he needs the fellowship the most. Any space for such people? What a paradox. An unforgiving church. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to talk about it. That text we read about Satan not taking advantage of the church, I want to give you the proper context. In 1 Corinthians 5, there was a guy who messed up really bad. He fell into sin, not just sin, but the kind of sin that unbelievers will say, ah, guy, you get mind. You know, there was a trend on Twitter just days ago where they say college dues in the university is 5,000. Sit and whispers. Tell your parents 15,000. And then you tell your parents 50,000, and Satan goes, ah. No, he's amazed. You have exceeded him. But this guy, he was dating his father's wife. And it wasn't a secret. They were going to church, going to the mall together, you know, doing stuff. You know, so Paul, and I'm going to teach on this. Praise the Lord. You belong to a teaching ministry in this church. So listen very carefully to my emphasis. I don't do follow. I'm sure you know that by now. If there are phrases I don't use them for a reason. I'm going to say it now. Let it trend. Do you understand? I don't really care. For a theologian to say once saved, always saved is one of the most irresponsible things you can ever say. It's not biblical. The Bible teaches perseverance of the saints. But when you say once saved, always saved, you are presenting something else. Let me tell you what I'm saying. I don't really have time for this. This is not what we're talking about. But now, there is someone who belongs in the church. Listen now. There is someone who belongs in the church. He worships together. He studies together. He does everything together and all of that. But Paul hears this guy is dating his father's wife. And he's blatant and consistently unrepentant about this. And he uses strong terms for him. He says, don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Leaven was used as a metaphor for unbelievers. He says, an unbeliever. He says, deliver him to Satan, meaning hand him over to his daddy. Yes. So when you see someone consistently in sin, you have every biblical right to make a conclusion about the person's salvation. John said, anyone who claims to be in the light, he might claim to be in the light, be hanging around people who are of the light. He says, but he hates his brother. You've tried to talk to him. You got the pastor to talk to him. You got the church to talk to him. He doesn't change. He says he's in the darkness up until now. You will never see in the Bible where they made excuse for anybody who claimed to be a believer but was in sin. Never. The conclusion was the same. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And so that discipline, kicking him out, was going to prove as a final test if he was reprobate or not. And so he's kicked out. And now a lot of theologians believe he was the one that Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 2. Well, the guy is remorseful now. Or maybe he really wasn't saved at the time, but now he believes. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 10, he says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ. He's saying, don't sweat it. Okay, the guy is sorry. He's ready to change. Forgive. Bring him back. He says, lest Satan take advantage of us. But we are not ignorant of his words. So, one of the things Satan does is to get us to be unforgiving. To be unforgiving. When people make mistakes.
Praise the Lord.
When people make mistakes and we use it as a definite judge of their future. Unrepentantly. That's the devil at work. Praise the name of the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the name of the Lord. Anyways, so on a more personal level, so what do I do? Maybe that description I gave is you right now. That's where you are. You're just like, this miracle thing.
I don't really. So, you are not as receptive as you used to be. Some people are now so suspicious. A friend of mine, a pastor, said, you know, someone came to his church, a first timer. First day in church, he was already telling the pastor, well, you seem like a nice guy, but I'm still watching you because it looks like all of you are the same. He was telling the pastor that. That, you know, you might say, what kind of person is that? You don't know what he has been through. you don't know what he has seen. You know there are pastors that collect people's wives. You don't know what he has seen. So it's like, well, you seem like a nice guy, but I'm still watching you. He's telling the pastor to his face. What an interesting time to be alive. You know, just yesterday, I saw a man of God trending on the name, trending on Twitter. I said, what has happened again? I clicked. I saw it was something good. I said, ah, for a change. Thank you, Jesus.
But Jesus said, I recognize an attack is coming against you, Peter. I've prayed for you. Guess what? When you are strengthened, you also strengthen your brethren. Do you understand? Meaning this is my strategy for the preservation
of the saints. He doesn't say, all of you stand, be strong. I prayed for you. When you are strengthened, do what to the brethren? That's God's plan. Hallelujah. The first thing I want you to know is this. If you are not already experiencing attacks, you will. Your faith will be tested. The devil is going to tempt you. And when that happens, God's strategy for your preservation is ecclesia. Are you listening to me? You need people of like precious faith around you. I'm telling you, there will be weak moments. There will be, there are things stories I will tell later. I've had brief moments like that, brief. But there were moments. Just 3 years ago, someone put his hand on my shoulder, looked at me and said, God is good. And I squeezed my face. I have to be honest with you. It happened to me. And he squeezed me more. He said, you preach it. You preach it. And when he said, you preach it, the thing, you know, like, bro, calm down. It was a trying time. That time, I used to say it was the most trying time of my life until last month came. Glory! Hallelujah. Then that same period, where I was going through what I almost thought it was a Job experience. Maybe not that deep, you know. When you're going through stuff, you just exaggerate, you know. Then someone now sent me a picture. He was driving, someone scratched his car. He said, Pastor, what's all this? Am I cursed? So I looked at the message. I said, if I reply him now, it won't go well. So I left it 12 hours later, and I replied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you are strengthened, do what? Some of you don't have anybody you talk to about the things of God. Anybody. You've been coming to this church for a long time. You have no friend. All your friends are unbelievers, and you are wondering why your devotional life is not consistent. After you go to church, you go and hang out with your friends. All of them, they are with their girlfriend on their lap. They are kissing. Then you are in one corner speaking in tongues. Yeah, you will be in trouble. It's not prophecy. It's only a matter of time. Do you have friends who are believers? We have a platform in this church, Meet and Pray. You know, where you just hang out with people who stay around your area, pray together, play games together, you know, have fun, but you must pray and share the word of God for a bit. You have refused to have friends who are believers. Now, the moment we just stand up, before we take the benediction, you disappear. Nobody knows you, but you have been coming for 1 year. Listen, when trial comes and meets you alone, hey! Because now, the strategy of Christ, you have not submitted yourself to him. He said, my method of preserving you in trying times will be the people I plant around you. But you have secluded yourself. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Please, are you learning anything? Galatians chapter 6 from verse 1. Time is running. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, gather and talk about him. Is that what he said? What did he say? Can I tell you something? If something happens to any believer and you have to talk about it at all, make sure you're talking about it because you are looking for a solution. Some people like gists. You just like gists. You just like... You know about everybody. Eh? And you're wondering why you don't still have a job. You're already too engaged. Everybody's gist you have. Sorry. He says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of meekness. I like the fact that he added with the spirit of meekness. Don't make a fuss about it. Because you have someone does not mean his destiny now depends on you. Any small thing you remind him, you are an ingrate. Is it not you that I lifted from the pit that year? From the miry clay. I put food on your table, a cloth on your back, and you're treating me. Hallelujah. He didn't just say restore, he said do it with meekness. With meekness. Hallelujah. Make sure the person can still walk with his head high after the whole thing. If he doesn't deserve an alarm, don't blow one. Do you understand? If it's something you can get, we're getting to that. Two believers, three believers to say, okay, this is what this fellow is going through. Let's help him. He's fine. You move on. Praise the Lord. There are some things pastor does not need to know. I don't need to know. Except he's serious. Hallelujah. But if you can help, help out. Glory be to God. This is what the Bible teaches. It says, ye which are spiritual, restore. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. So Galatians 6 talks about those who are spiritual. Romans 15 uses another metaphor. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Oh, this person, you know, I don't know. Her character is so, I don't know. She doesn't behave like a believer. This, that. Well, that's why you are there. You are strong for people like that. It says, we then who are strong ought to what? Bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Do you know what this tells you? Salvation is not personal. Did you hear what I said? You are not permitted to mind your business. There's no such thing. Even at the judgment seat of Christ, your pastor still says, you are my joy at the rejoicing, am I rejoicing at the coming of Christ? Meaning there might be some interference. At some point, your pastor will stand by your side. So even then, it's not personal. Are you following me? Salvation is not what? Meaning you have a sense of responsibility to the people around you. That's what I'm trying to say. It says, don't please yourself. If you're strong, help someone. Look at the person by your side, nudge him a little, say, who you help? Who you help? Help someone. Before you gossip about someone, who have you helped? Before you tell me what the person did, what have you tried to do to help the person? Are you just telling me for telling? Okay, why did you tell me? What did you do about it? Have you prayed for the person?
Praise the Lord.
This is serious. You see, I might be joking at intervals, but this is very, this is God's strategy against the attack of the enemy. He says, don't please yourself. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Verse 3, everybody read verse 3 together, 1, 2, go. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So now, he's telling you this is not a suggestion. This is the gospel. Christ didn't please himself. He sacrificed for you. Now, responsibility has come on you. You must stand for the person by your side. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. If you don't do this, you are in sin. Did you hear me? How you handle a brother in error matters. God is literally watching. You know the price paid for that fellow? The price. Blood was shed for that guy, for that sister. You take it seriously. You do everything by the spirit, not by emotion. You might be annoyed about what happened. Hallelujah. This is serious. Glory to God. We're going to read some other texts. Let's read one more in this light before we move on. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Everybody read together, 1, 2, go. He says, let us consider one another to do what? To provoke, to spur. Listen, you can spur the person by your side. It's your calling. It's your responsibility. It's your duty. Oh, she's not prayerful. It's not a talking point. It's a prayer point, okay? Do something about it. Visit and let's pray. Let's pray. Can we pray for 30 minutes? Can I call you 3 times a day just for us to pray for 5 minutes? That's you taking responsibility for a brother. So can I tell you something? It is part of your duty in Christ to watch. You know, it's easy to tell. This guy that is always worshiping on his knees, sometimes in tears. Now he's in church and he's lifeless. Sometimes he even sits down, just looking at everybody. Many times, you know by observations, sometimes by the spirit, you know this guy is going through stuff. Hallelujah. So you reach out. You reach out. So now, you're no longer coming to church just for your own edification. You are watching. And you say, are you okay? Are you sure? Anything you want to talk to me about? The person says no. You don't take no for it. Hey, are you listening to me? You check up on him. Boys to boys, girls to girls. Amen? If you like, laugh. So, you check up on him or her. Hallelujah. I just called to greet you. Hope everything is fine. Send an encouraging text. Send a gift if you can. That's love work, okay? Has anyone felt your warmth in this church before? Felt encouraged because of you? Anybody? Provoke unto love and unto good works. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is about the body of Christ as a whole. All right? Individuals. Now, if you're here, you're the one under attack. Nobody knows. run into the company of people who can help you. You know, when as a growing Christian, I experienced there are sometimes your prayer life is the one under attack. You try, you set alarm, you wake up, and you're just, please, do you know what I'm saying or not? It is, even as a man of God, it will happen once a while. Maybe some seasons you are so busy, your mind, you know, fatigue. So you just, everything, you are dragging it. The angels know that you are just trying. Day to day, they are not enjoying the prayer. They just want you to finish and go. Don't just stay there. You go to people. Listen, spiritual things are contagious. I've told you time and time again. It's like electricity. Go to a place where people are vibrant and praying. Sit there. Even if you are so dull, you don't feel like joining them. Sit down there in the atmosphere. If you can't afford to, you don't have time because of work, play tapes of prayer clips. Keep it playing. Keep it on repeat. Keep worship on repeat. I'm going to have enough time to talk about this during CCC. All right? You have to have a discernment for your soul. When your soul is heavy, when your soul is sinking, you have to be able to pick what is at stake. Don't leave your soul like that too long. Too long. It's a sign of attack. Are you listening to me? Sometimes your soul is not heavy. It's not sinking. It's just in I don't care mood. You know what I'm saying. Your soul. You know those moods. There are songs about it. I can't keep myself. You know? When you enter that mode spiritually, it's a red light. Fast again, am I the only one? You know? For the body of Christ, I want to teach you what I call the PR of God. You know what PR is? Public relation. How that a company can strategically protect the image of that institution to the public. There is the PR of God. You have to learn to handle it. I see a lot of believers, they don't, you know, my God. Sometimes something happens in the body of Christ. That's how you know people who understand what it means to be pastored. A controversial topic. I think that Twitter has spoiled people. You feel you must have an opinion about everything. There are some issues, especially when it comes to the body of Christ. Wait for your pastor. Wait. Your pastor has not said anything. Do what? Wait. And it's not difficult because your own pastor is not a coward. If I did not talk, it's for a reason. Are you listening to me? The PR of God. It's called home training. You know, when a woman is arguing with her husband, and then you join and say, you to this man, why are you doing like this? The woman will pounce on you many times and say, stop talking to my husband like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's called home training. You'll be surprised. In-house, I might be saying, the body of Christ, men of God need to, outside, maybe they call me in front of Channels TV, you'll be surprised. The way I will defend the body, you'll be amazed. It's called the PR of God. Let me show you this. We're doing Bible study now, so we'll read some text. I want you to see it yourself. So now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is giving the requirements for whoever will become a bishop, apt to teach, husband of one wife, all of that. And in verse 7, 1 Timothy 3, you know what he said? He says, moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without. Did you see that? For God's sake, we're talking about a spiritual position in the body of Christ. Why does it matter his reputation amongst the unbelievers? He must have a good report amongst unbelievers. Can you say with me, the PR of God? So now, there are some things we used to say before, carelessly. We don't care what anybody says. Hey, we care. In fact, many times we want to know, what are they saying? Jesus will ask, who do men say I am? Are you listening to me? It matters. I want to know what they are saying. It matters what they are saying. Because what we have is holy and sacred. It shouldn't be evil spoken of. Let not our good be evil spoken of. So, as a bishop in church, he must have a good report amongst the heathen. Meaning, sometimes he's qualified for controversial. Just put him in ushering. Are you listening to me now? Is it not in the word of God? Not that they just see him. You know, is this your pastor? It matters. It doesn't mean, oh my goodness. Are you with me today? Let's just read on and see more examples. All right. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. I'm going to move faster now. Time is running out. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. Now, why should we abstain from fleshly lusts? Because we have received a new heart. We have the Holy Spirit and all of that. That's true. But see the reason he gave here in verse 12. Everybody read together, one, two, go. Having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, ye may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So he's saying, apart from the major reasons why you shouldn't go on in sin, you have the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is this and this and that. He said also, the unbelievers are watching. For God's sake, don't embarrass us. The PR of God. Are you with me? So now, God brings the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's watching them. You know, do you know what? After all the plagues of Egypt, they saw the mighty hand of God. They would have believed. One would have thought so. But the moment they got into the wilderness and they were hungry. They began to say all kinds of things. Were we not better as slaves? Do you know what it means? God just saved you. He's taking you to a promised land you cannot believe. Just because you are hungry, you say, we were better off in Egypt, eating all the funny food they were giving us. But you brought us here to die. This your God brought us here to, you know. So God kept saying, I'm watching these people to see if they will believe or not. He gave them food. They were thirsty. Same thing. He gave them water. They kept on misbehaving. God called Moses up on the mountain to give him the law. Before he was done, Aaron was waiting. It's like, Moses is not coming back. Bring your gold. Let's make. So as God was still writing, you shall not worship any other god. They were already breaking it. He has not even finished writing. Are you with me? So at that point, God had had enough. He said, Moses, leave the way. Let me destroy these people and raise another generation. And Moses said, if you do it, what will Egypt say? They will say, you saved them, went through all that stress to bring them to the wilderness only to destroy them by yourself. The Bible says, God, if our KJV used a strong language, God repented. It actually means changed his mind. Are you with me? Because of the PR. The people deserve to be destroyed. Are you with me? They deserve to be destroyed. But what will Egypt say? Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll give you one or two more examples. Let me give you the example of David. David killed Uriah, married his wife, and Nathan the prophet came, gave a story, you know, a parable about a rich man who had, you know, several cattle, and a poor man who had just a little lamb. The little lamb was so special, he treated it like a daughter. He says they ate from the same table, slept on the same bed. You know, that was his only inheritance. And now, the rich man had a visitor, went and took the only little lamb that poor man had, killed it to entertain his visitor. David heard, said, who is that man? Such wickedness. Show him to me. I will make sure he pays 100-fold. And Nathan said, it's you. God gave you your master's house, that's Saul. Gave you his properties, gave you his wives. He said, gave you wealth, riches. He said, and if, he said something that touched me. He said, if it was not enough, he would have given you more. You would have just asked. But you went ahead to take the only wife of a man. Hallelujah. And then he made a statement. He said, because of what you've done, the name of God is blasphemed amongst the heathen. Now people are talking. Oh, are they not the ones? Believers. Is this not how they're doing? And all of that. So it matters to God. Hallelujah. So there is a way. This is God's way. We will handle situations as much as possible in-house. Are you listening to me? I'm not talking about being nonchalant about wrong behavior. God forbid. But we have to find a way to control the narrative, handle it in-house. It's an in-house matter. It's a family matter. Don't let it get out if it doesn't have to get out. It matters. There are some testimonies that must not be shared. Can I tell you something? Let me give you a perfect example. The example of Saul. Saul was the anointed of the Lord, but he went astray. Typical example, right? He went astray. He was not in the will of God, but he was still anointed. As long as he was still anointed, the unbelievers will have something to talk about. Is this not the person they anointed? See how a so-called anointed man of God is behaving. And now, God, who prided himself in defending his anointed, defending his choice country, Saul died like an ordinary man. And I want you to see what David said. Are you with me? Are you in 2 Samuel? Second Samuel 1, verse 17. It says, and David lamented with these lamentations over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And also bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the books of Jasper. He says, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Verse 20, everybody read it together. 1, 2, go. Did you see that? He said, this must not get out. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not on the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Ah! Saul, the anointed of God, died like an ordinary man. Tell it not. Publish it not. Hallelujah. You might be saying, yes, we'll be saying it. You know, we stand for the truth. They have been standing for error. When it all comes down to it, you must recognize the PR of God. As long as these guys were called of God, they may be misbehaving. But don't let the unbelievers rejoice. This is one thing the body of Christ has been getting wrong in this nation. Yes or yes? There have been videos of real miracles. You never posted anyone. The one of fake, you now post it and say, you see, I don't know what the church is turning into. I don't know what the church is turning into. Have you posted any real one before? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not. He said, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Let the children of the uncircumcised rejoice. Are you with me? So there is a sacredness in how we handle information. It matters. In fact, let me say this. Don't let social media deceive you. Some matters are beyond you. Did you hear what I said? It's beyond you. It's beyond you. Even I myself, there was a day, you know, I was talking about, just in private, a man of God, something he did, and, you know, I was flaring, I was angry. It was getting to a point, the Holy Spirit began to nudge me, calm down, we are calm down. Hallelujah. Don't, because everybody is speaking their mind, you can't speak your own mind, though. You know, after all, we are all anointed, Abby. Praise the Lord. So, when there is an issue, it's such a pity. There are some matters that get out of hand. We need to speak up. And we are speaking up to control the narrative. You have to understand why. There has to be the intelligence of God behind this. So if you are speaking up, it's because, I mean, it's already out there. And now we must talk. Otherwise, they say we are all the same. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when men of God speak up and say, no, this is not how it should be done, you are doing it for a reason. But for something to happen, then you are the one to now publish it. Never. If you heard it first, contain it. Let me tell you what Jesus taught. This is the last text I'm reading today. Matthew chapter 18. Have you learned anything today, please? Matthew chapter 18. Verse 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Is that clear enough? If your brother offends him, you, first of all, go and tell him between him and you alone. If he shall hear thee, you have gained thy brother. Which should be your goal? Next verse. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Are you getting the procedure here? By God's normal structure, two believers, maybe they did business, it didn't go well. You don't just run to court. Do you know how embarrassing it is? So ministry versus so ministry, land battle in court. What is going on? Paul said, is it not even better to suffer yourself to be defrauded? There are some things you just allow to go just for the sake of the name of Christ. Let them not say two pastors are dragging car. Two pastors are dragging babe. They are single. They say, I'm the one that will marry her. I saw her in the vision. They say, no, the Lord showed me in a trance, you know. He said, you must have the discipline sometimes for the integrity of the body to walk away. It's better. By the time the thing is getting public, two known figures in the body of Christ arguing, he said, it's better to just let it go. Hallelujah. He said, don't you have anybody that is wise enough to judge the matter among you? You go to unbelievers to use their law to say, well, section so, you know. Sometimes it might get that serious. So. Do you understand? It might get that serious. And sometimes you go to court, not because you want to go, because someone took you there. Praise the Lord. No problem with it. But as much as possible, can't you talk about it? Tell the church. Let him be unto the... He says, and if he neglect to hear the church... If he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as what? Hearing man and a publican. You see what I'm saying? Did you say once saved forever? There are some things you do. The Bible says you start. In our eyes, this is the verdict. Hallelujah. So let him be unto you a heathen man, a publican. This is the order of the house of God. There are some matters, you just pray about it. Jesus said, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. How about you pray for someone? How about you pray for that man of God? For the sake of the body. Praise the Lord. It matters. Well, were you blessed today? Please rise to your feet. I want you to do something. Hold the person by your side and pray for the body of Christ. And you're just going to prophesy. No matter the attacks that the body of Christ in this nation faces, we are getting stronger by the power of God. It's a hard thing to kick against the pricks. The church is growing stronger, getting stronger in influence. We cannot be stopped. We cannot be resisted. Our mouth cannot be shut. Prophesy right now. Waxing stronger by the power of God. Getting better by the wisdom of God. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Pray in your understanding. Oh, you recognize it as an attack of the devil. And you command it to stop. Because we cannot be stopped. By the power of God. The word of God is growing mightily and prevailing in this nation. We will not be hindered. The true word of God and true acts of God, miracles, will be published in this nation.
Begin to pray for recovery by the power of God. Every ministry under attack, they are recovered, they are restored by the power of God. Zatalamatoko preteke behas. Datoko pretene mahashestash. Delonde rebene kukra actas. Zekukata la bakaru televeno. Asu sepene kukra ash. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. You're going to pray for the person by your side. In any way, the devil has tried to attack your conviction. In the name of Jesus, you are bouncing back stronger. Stronger by the power of God. Waxing stronger in favor. Waxing stronger in conviction. Waxing stronger in the name of Jesus. Waxing stronger. Waxing stronger. Your prayer life is restored. Waxing stronger. Your study life is restored. Waxing stronger. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for you that your faith, Kalamando Raste Kuba, your convictions are strengthened, and you are strengthened to strengthen others. Strengthened to strengthen others. Bratalondong Raste Shas. Every offense, every hurt in your heart is replaced by the peace of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, every unforgiving tendency is replaced by the wisdom and the mercy of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And we pray, Kusta Varatash, Zuste Fekato Ke Christos. Varatino Krustavaa Shestesh. I see the body of Christ in this nation waxing stronger. Yeah. Ayaya. Stronger than ever before. Yeah. Oh, the influence of the body of Christ, the church in this nation, is not dwindling or reducing. Instead, we're getting bigger. Yeah. Our influence is getting stronger. And the true word of God will be published across the nation and across the world in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every attack of the enemy against the image of the church, by the wisdom of God, by the power of God, those attacks, they cease right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. All right, give the Lord a shout of praise if you were blessed.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.